We're recording.
Thank you. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Philadelphia Water, Sewer and Stormwater Rate Board. I see all five members of the board are present. We do have our agenda was published several, I think, last week. And we do have a pretty full agenda today. But before we get started, I did want to mention that this is the next to the last meeting for Stephen Liang, our legal and person who helps run the show. And you may or may not be aware that Stephen has been a law student for the last year at Temple Law School. And he's been doing that while also holding down this position. But now he's moving on to at least for the summer, to a legal internship. And I just want to say thank you to Stephen for all the great work that he's done. He's been invaluable to me and all the board members, as well as I know to the hearing officer and to Dan, our counsel. So with that, Stephen, You can show your face if you'd like.
Thanks, Sonny. Just one second.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
There he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Stephen, for all your service to the board and to the people of Philadelphia, for your work at the law department, not just for us, but I know you've had other positions as well. So with that, unless anyone else has anything else to say to Stephen, we'll move on to our agenda.
Well, I just want to add that, Sonny, I also too very much appreciate Stephen's efforts, and some of it was not always easy. And but you got through it quite well. Sorry. Silence my phone, it is much appreciated. So thanks, and good luck, and hope your internship goes well, and hopefully you come back and work for the law department.
Yeah,
and Dan didn't tell me to say that.
Thank you to all of you who worked with me, and I never know what to say at these sorts of times, but it's been an honor and a privilege working with you all. And thank you for doing so much for the city and for three great years. Thanks, everyone.
Sonny, for the water department also, many, many thanks to Steve. He's helped so much in making these proceedings go smoothly. We are grateful.
Thank you, Andre.
Likewise, for the public advocate, I'd like to thank you, Stephen. Wish you good luck. I hope you have a great summer and a long and successful career in law. And I can't believe you're still considering it after having capacity.
Yeah, I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. So.
Okay, thank you very much. First item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from the board meeting of May 10, 2023. Abby was not present at that meeting, our secretary, but so I circulated those minutes to all the board members. And are there any, let me, well, first of all, are there any questions or additions or corrections to the minutes that were circulated?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes.
Okay, Mac moves to accept the minutes. Tony seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are carried. The next issue on our agenda was a motion that was filed with the board by Lance Haver to remove the hearing examiner for cause. I'd like to take that matter up for discussion. That motion was filed by Mr. Haver. A response was filed by the Philadelphia Water Department. That we also received a letter in support of the Philadelphia Water Department's response from the Philadelphia Large Users Group, or PLUG. Do any of the board members have any comments that they'd like to make or a discussion with regard to this motion?
I'll move to deny the motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Yes, Abby?
Yeah, this has been a repeated course of conduct by Mr. Haver. And I think we've discussed this ad nauseum. And I would just like to proceed with saying one more time that the hearing examiner has done a phenomenal job. And this decision is additional evidence of the phenomenal job that she does. And I'd like to heartily endorse her conduct and her work as the hearing examiner and ask and hope that we don't get these motions on a repeated basis ad infinitum.
Yeah, I would second those comments, Abby. I think Marcy has provided extraordinary service to the board, to the participants, and to the people of Philadelphia over the last 4 years. I think I would in no way support any attempt to replace her or remove her from this or any case. And I just again want to thank Ms. Chestnut for all the work she's done in these very difficult cases, frankly, over the last 4 years. If you think about it, through the pandemic and some very difficult issues that have come up before the board. So is there any other discussion by the members of the board on that? Deb?
I just wanted to add that I do think that you know, the departments and the PLUGs stated it quite well as well, why we should deny this motion request. It's not helpful. It's clearly a lack of care and understanding for the whole process. Efforts like such as this, from my perspective, it ignores the urgency of addressing this and the time frame that we need to address the rates. And again, it's just not helpful at all. So, and it's you know, we couldn't ask for a better hearing officer, in my perspective. So, that's my two cents.
Yeah. Anything else from the members of the board? In that case, I'll ask for a vote. There's a motion by Mr. Ewing to deny the motion to remove the hearing officer. All in favor of Mr. Ewing's motion to deny the motion, respond by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion of Mr. Ewing, seconded by Mr. Williams, I believe, I'm not sure who seconded now.
Seconded by, case, by Abby.
Oh, I'm sorry, seconded by Ms. Pozeski deny the motion to remove the hearing examiner. Mr. Ewing's motion is approved 5-0. Thank you. I'd like to now move on to board consideration of the recommendations of the hearing officer in the TAP-R reconciliation proceedings. I previously distributed to the board members some sheets listing the issues in the two proceedings that we will be considering today. There's really only one issue with respect to the TAP rate proceeding, and that is there is a proposed settlement. The hearing between the Water Department and the Public Advocate setting the tap R surcharge at 15 cents per 1,000 cubic feet for water and 24 cents per 1,000 cubic feet for wastewater. I would note those are substantial reductions from the current rates, which are, I believe, $1.03 for water and $1.63 for wastewater. But in any case, the hearing officer recommended that that settlement be approved. There were no exceptions filed to the recommendation by any party. I see, Mr. Vaccari, you have your hand raised. You have a question or comment? Ade?
Sorry, no, Chairman, I do not. I don't think I have my hand raised unless.
Oh, okay. It's showing up now. It's showing up as someone else having their hand raised. So I don't know if it's my computer or is everybody seeing that. Okay. Well, in any case, never mind. It did show up on my screen as so I apologize for that. But let me just move my cursor here. Okay. Thank you. So getting back to the settlement. And the recommendation by the hearing officer to accept that settlement. Is there any discussion, questions or discussion by any members of the board? In that case, could I ask for a motion to accept the hearing report recommendation regarding the settlement. Now, by the way, we will be voting on the final order next week once we have agreed to, or if we agree to approve the recommendation, we will then go to the process of finalizing a final determination. But as for now, I would like to get the vote of the board to see whether or not you choose to accept the recommendation. So could I ask all in favor, please say aye.
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 Do we need a motion?
I don't know, but why don't we go ahead? Yeah, go ahead and do that. Can I ask for a motion then? Okay, Tony asks for a
second.
Tony moves, Max second. Any further discussion? All in favor of adopting the hearing report recommendation to adopt the proposed settlement, please signify by raising your hand or saying aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? Okay, then that carries 5-0 and we will have a final order, hopefully for your consideration at our meeting on next Wednesday, June 21st. I'd like to now go through the issues in the rate proceeding, in the general rate proceeding. The board members have some sheets in which I've identified, hopefully, all of the issues that we have to consider, some of which exceptions were filed and some of which no exceptions were filed. But I'd like to go, and again, this is a polling that we will use when we see what the majority of the board members think on any given issue. We will then use that to prepare a final order for consideration in the on June 21st, if we can get that put together by then. The first issue is the hearing report recommendation to accept the proposed metrics in this proceeding that were presented by the Water Department. In this case, there was a 1.25 senior debt service coverage ratio for this proceeding, and also confirm the board's financial metrics as future targets. Now, those financial metrics, you may recall, we adopted in the 2018 rate proceeding. those are metrics to be considered by the department and by the board in requesting rate increases and in resolving them. They're neither a ceiling or a floor, but they are targets. And in any case, there were no exceptions filed to that to those determinations or those recommendations by the hearing officers. Are there any discussion on those issues? Okay. I don't think we need to file to do separate motions on each of these. These are just votes that we will be taking to advise, basically to provide us with guidance in preparation of the order. So let me ask, are there any objections to accepting the hearing report recommendation regarding the financial plan and metrics? Hearing none, I will assume that we are endorsing that recommendation and we'll include that in our final determination. The second issue on our list is an issue regarding operating revenues. The hearing officer recommended the adoption of a adjustment by the public advocate to increase the sales volumes and would increase revenues at existing rates, the result of which would be to reduce the rate increase that would be necessary by about $5.6 million in fiscal year 24 and $5.8 million in fiscal year 25. The Water Department, PWD, filed exceptions to that recommendation. Is there any discussion or comments on that issue? Okay, Deb, yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sunny. I think that the using the three-year average makes sense. So I do agree with that portion, but I don't think it's in question that vicinity, which is one of the, you know, the department's top 10 customers. And I think it said 0.99% of their revenue, Water Department's revenue. I don't think that's in question that they will no longer be a customer this coming year. And so I am recommending that we add back in the loss of revenue of 90,000 cubic feet of consumption, which the department has stated vicinity uses, water consumption, and then adjust accordingly.
Is there any other discussion on that?
Do we have any sense of what that monetary value is?
I didn't do that. Sorry.
Actually, I was looking at
I know the total revenue from vicinity, I think it's quoted as $7.5 million, right. But that's water, sewer, and stormwater. So I don't know what the breakdown is for the water only.
Okay. You know, I actually took a look at the department's tariff. And I think that the rate per 1,000 cubic feet is something in the tail block for large users. And we will consult with Mr. Marcus when we make this adjustment. Ed Marcus, our consultant, I think it's about $40 per MCF. And if you've multiplied that by 90,000, it would be about 3.6 million. That was just my arithmetic, but if that is, and please don't hold me to that. That's not, that's something that we would need to go back and check. But if your proposal then is to adopt the adjustment with the exception that we would reduce the adjustment by the lost revenues from the loss of vicinity as a large customer. Is that correct?
For the water consumption, the 90,000.
For the water consumption, that's right. It wouldn't affect wastewater as far as we know. Is there any further, any discussion on that?
Yeah, I think Dick's proposal makes sense to me, accepting the three-year average and then doing the reduction as has just been discussed.
Okay, any other discussion? Well, I would agree. I think that's a reasonable, I've had trouble with this issue all along, but I think that's a reasonable compromise position. So I would support that compromise position for the purposes of the order. I guess, can I hear Mac, Tony, would you support that? Or
Yes, I would support that.
Mac?
Yes, I would support that as well.
Okay. And we will do our best to calculate that and make sure that that amount is in, that revenue adjustment is reflected in the in our final tables and the final order. Thank you. The next issue on the table is another adjustment to revenue, and this was a recommendation by the hearing officer to adopt a recommendation by, again, by the public advocate to increase revenues and therefore reduce the rate increase to reflect the position that costs that rates paid through the TAP rider were collected at a higher rate than rates that would have been collected by low income customers who are receive the TAP rate. That if we reflect that adjustment, that would reduce the rate increase by about 4.9 million in both fiscal year 24. And 25, the Water Department has accepted to that recommendation as well. Is there any discussion on that adjustment?
I would suggest that we accept the hearing officer's recommendation on this one.
Are there any other comments? Okay, I would also support accepting the hearing officer's recommendation. Abby? Okay, you're muted, but I'm guessing you're nodding your head.
It took me a minute, sorry, yeah.
Tony?
Yes.
Mac?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We'll conclude that.
If I may, these aren't formal votes, but we still are planning to include a polling sheet showing.
No, we're not.
Okay, fine. Just wanted to check. Okay.
The next issue is the. This is just for the purposes of the discussion here among the board members. The next issue I have on the polling sheet is the adjustments that were proposed by the public advocate to the capital improvement program. Two adjustments, one to reject an inflation factor for fiscal year 25, and another to modify what's called the carry forward of encumbrances of the capital improvement program amounts for fiscal year 24 and 25. Recommendation that the hearing officer recommended that adjustment, that those two adjustments be denied, and the public advocate has accepted to that recommendation. Is there any discussion on that issue? I'm assuming by silence in all these issues, if there's no discussion, that what that implies a support of the hearing officer's recommendation.
That's correct. That is,
okay.
Yeah.
So on this one, am I correct? Well, let me ask. Is anyone opposed to the hearing officer recommendation on this issue? Oh, then hearing none, we will adopt the hearing officer's recommendation on that issue, the capital improvement program. The next issue is expense escalation factors. The hearing officer recommended adoption of reduction in the escalation factors for several accounts proposed by the public advocate. That would be for services, materials, supplies, and transfers. But she recommended adoption of the water department escalation factors for chemicals and equipment. Overall, that would be on balance, that would reduce expenses and reduce the rate increase by about $9.3 million or $9.4 million in fiscal year 24 and $18.8 million in fiscal year 25. Is there any discussion on that recommendation by the hearing officer?
I have to say, I think this is a difficult one, predicting the future going and the indices. Choosing which indice is a challenge, but so I did struggle with this one, but I, in the end of the day, I would like to go with the hearing officer's recommendations.
Any other comments? Yeah, I also support the hearing officer's recommendations on this issue. Are there any objections then to adopting the hearing officer's recommendations on the question of escalation factors? Hearing none, we'll adopt the hearing officer's recommendation. Next one we'll do a little more quickly. It's debt interest rate. This was an adjustment by the public advocate to reduce interest rates on new bond issuances from 5.5 to 5%. That would reduce the interest costs and reduce the rate increase by about $1.9 million in year 24 and $3.7 million in 25. There were no exceptions filed to that recommendation. Is there any discussion? In that case, are there any objections then to adopting the hearing officer's recommendation? Hearing none, we'll adopt that recommendation as well in order. The next issue is interest income. And this one is to increase the income that, and this was a proposal by the public advocate to increase the interest income on the Philadelphia Water Department accounts from 1.0 to 1.5%. That reduces the rate increase by $1.82 million in fiscal year 24 and almost $2 million in fiscal year 25. There were no exceptions to this adjustment per se, but we will discuss later, there is an exception to the calculation of the adjustment in our table C1A. We'll address that at the end of the polling. But on the underlying adjustment, there were, to my knowledge, no exceptions filed to this calculation. Is there any discussion on this topic? Any objections to the underlying recommendation of the hearing officer? in that case, I'll deem it adopted, subject to the, our discussion on how the interest income adjustment was calculated at the end of our polling. The next issue I have as an expense issue is the a recommendation by the public advocate to deny the department recovery of lien filing expenses. That's lien, L-I-E-N, filing expenses. That adjustment was denied by the hearing report, it was recommended that it be denied. And the public advocate has filed an exception to that adjustment. That adjustment, by the way, is related to an issue later in the polling sheets, specifically issue 18 regarding whether or not we have the authority to essentially direct the department not to file these liens that are related to tap arrearages. But in any case, I would agree with the hearing officer's recommendation to deny that adjustment, as we'll discuss, at least in my opinion, and we can defer the final vote on this. I don't think we have the authority to order the department to not file these liens. I think it's an important issue that they ought to be discussing with the law department, which I think does have some authority on this issue. But in any case, I don't think we can simply deny them recovery of these costs while they are still filing these liens. That's my position in any case. So is there any other comments by the board members on the exception or that? So I would recommend adopting the hearing report, which denies the public advocate adjustment to disallow that expense. Is there any disagreement on that point?
I would agree, Sonny. I mean, there's a cost of filing a lien, and it's got to be borne by somebody.
Yeah, and as I said, I think as I read the advocate's brief, there are some questions that ought to be addressed as to whether these liens need to be filed. But I don't think this board can make that determination. As we'll discuss later, I think that's an issue that should be. The department should be addressing with the law department. So that would be also to adopt the, we would agree to adopt the hearing report recommendation.
Is there an opinion by Dan or anyone from the law department on that authority in question?
I don't think we have anything formal at this point. That's the question that I think they'll have to address.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The next issue
I will say that leaning is something that the law department does. It's the water department cannot do it on its own. I think it's a correct decision.
Hey, thanks, Dan. The next issue involves the overall on the necessity for the rate increase at all. There is, while the public advocate made a number of adjustments to the rate increase, Mr. Haver recommended a zero increase in both years on the ground that the department had failed to implement cost-cutting measures and that the rate increases should be denied in their entirety. The hearing officer recommended denial of Mr. Haver's proposal, and he has filed exceptions to that recommendation. Is there any discussion on the on that issue?
I would just say that the write-up on this by the hearing officer says it all, I think.
Okay, any further discussion? Does anyone object to adopting the hearing officer's recommendation with regard to the necessity for a rate increase? Hearing none, we will adopt the, we'll include that in our final order, the hearing officer's recommendation. Next issue turns to the cost of service issues, which are cost and revenue allocation issues. The first cost of service issue involves something called the base extra capacity factor, which is an element of the department's cost of service study and method for allocating costs across customer classes. The public advocate proposed modifications to the base extra capacity factor. Large users group, the Philadelphia Large Users Group, PLUG, recommended adoption of the, or use of the PWD factors in this case, but proposed that Philadelphia Water Department be required to perform a complete study of customer usage factors for consideration in the next proceeding. That specifically has to do with what's called the maximum day and maximum hour class usage data. The hearing officer denied the, or proposed that we deny the modifications that were proposed in this proceeding by the public advocate to change the method, the cost allocation in this proceeding, but she recommended that we adopt the large users group proposal to require the department to perform a study of customer usage factors. The public advocate accepted to the denial of the use of their allocation in this proceeding. And the water department accepted to the requirement that they perform a study for the next case. Let's take those separately. With respect to the public advocate exception that we alter the cost allocation factors in this case. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to accepting the hearing officer recommendation that we deny the public advocate's proposal to use the adjusted cost allocation factors in this case? Is there any objection to that determination? Okay, hearing none, we'll deny that exception of the public advocate. Now, with respect to the water department's exception, is there any discussion as to whether we would accept the hearing officer's proposal to adopt the plug recommendation, the large users group, that that the department conduct a study of the customer class usage factors in time for consideration in our next proceeding?
So I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not sure if the department doesn't make a, you know, is this something, if this is something that we can require, then I would say, yes, it should be done. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I guess if I could, I think this is the kind of thing we can require. I think there's a difference. I think this is this is rates. I think that, you know, I understand that, you know, we can't, there are a number of things that we can't do, but, this is an issue that's come up now in several rate proceedings, I believe. I thought it was a reasonable suggestion by the large customers, and it was actually supported by the public advocate as well, that the department should do a cost study so that we can find out what, you know, at least, you know, update these factors so we know, so we can get a sense. I also think it'll be made easier, I think, by the presence of smart meters as they're developed at the department, so you can make it easier to, you know, to provide as best they can this kind of data, which is basically trying to figure out what each customer class uses as a maximum on a daily basis and on an hourly basis. It's not an easy question, but it's something that we've been talking about now for several years. So I would vote to support adopt the hearing officer's recommendation, which adopted the plug recommendation to require a study.
I'm agreeing with Sunny on this one. Deb, I have a lot of sympathy for your position because as we go through this, I think there are a lot of recommendations that A, may be beyond the scope of our authority, and B, are burdensome, overly burdensome, and require the water department to do things that really will take a lot of time and focus away from what I think are more important efforts than the ones that are being sought. So I think as we hit each of these individually, we get a chance to make the same calculation. But I think on this one, it will really help us in the next rate proceeding, and we do have the authority. I agree with Sunny.
Right. I agree it should be done.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. Yeah. So. And you are a lawyer, so you can say that.
Yeah, I guess I think it really goes to the question of what's our authority? Our authority is to set rates, and how do we set rates? Well, we need information to set rates. And this is an example of information that, if at all possible, we would like to have by the next rate proceeding. So can I ask if there's any objections?
And you're right, Sunny. I think with the smart meters, though I hesitate to call them that, should make this not that huge a lift.
Okay. In that case, I'll ask if there's any objections to in essence, adopting the hearing officer's recommendation to, which in turn adopted the plug proposal to require a study of customer usage factors for the next proceeding. Any objection? Hearing none, we'll go forward with that recommendation. The next one involves cost allocation to public and private fire protection service. The public advocate had proposed a modification to the water department's cost allocations regarding the public and private fire protection service. The hearing officer recommended denial of that modification, and there were no exceptions filed. Is there any discussion on that issue? Okay, are there any objections to adopting the hearing officer's recommendation regarding the allocation to public and private fire service? No objections? Okay, let's go to the next issue. Next issue that I have is revenue allocation. That is how revenue increases would be allocated among customer classes. The advocate proposed modification to that revenue allocation based on its changes to the cost allocations that we previously discussed. Those were opposed by the water department, also opposed by Plug. And the hearing officer recommended that we deny the modifications to the water department revenue allocation. the public advocate filed exceptions. Are there any comments, discussion on that issue? Okay. Yeah, I would support the hearing officer on this. I note that Plug pointed out that the changes in the allocations were pretty substantial, very significant, that were proposed by the public advocate, and I'd be reluctant to adopt those recommendations, especially since we have not been able to adopt the cost allocation proposals by the advocate. There would be some reduction in the allocation to residential customers, but there would be very substantial increases in the allocations to some of the larger customers, industrial, hospitals, universities. And I would be reluctant to adopt those at this time, based on the fact that we still don't have a good solid cost of service study. So I would propose to, again, accept the recommendation from the hearing officer. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead with that. The next issue involves stormwater costs. Let me just say, first of all, there were no exceptions on this, but what the advocate had recommended a number of modifications to stormwater charges regarding allocation of SMIP, what are called SMIP GARP credits, residential building types, rain barrels. The hearing officer denied those changes in this case, but did recommend that the department evaluate those issues as part of their ongoing discussions. They are having ongoing discussions with other participants regarding stormwater costs and credits, and to report back to the department on those discussions. There were no exceptions filed by on that issue. Is there any discussion or comments regarding that? Okay, thanks. Again, I think that's a reasonable position that these issues are relevant to those ongoing discussions that the department has already begun regarding the complex issues of how stormwater rates are determined. So there are no objections to adopting that recommendation. Okay, thank you. The next is, again, no exceptions, but it was a proposal by the public advocate to direct Water Department to actively seek revenues from non-ratepayer sources to fund, at least in part, stormwater and combined sewer overflow remediation projects. And to report to the board quarterly on the status of those activities. Again, I think those are the kind of reports that are already being done to some extent. And I don't know if there's any other comments at that. As I said, there were no exceptions filed to that proposal. Are there any comments or objections by any of the board members? Hearing none, I would urge, say that we would include that recommendation of the hearing officer in our final order. The next issue, there's actually three issues sort of related, involving recommendations on TAP reporting, some of the TAP reporting issues. On the TAP, on number 15, the recommendation is to require the department, this is a recommendation from the hearing report, to report to the board on expanded TAP participation efforts, including pre-qualification of potential TAP recipients, discussions with the Philadelphia Gas Works about possible data sharing, and implementation of a text-based recertification program, and continued reporting on a quarterly basis of detailed TAP enrollment data. The Water Department has accepted to some of those requirements. I would ask if there's any and that would include in particular the discussions with PGW and implementation of a text-based recertification program. I think there's agreement that we should, let me just say, I think there's agreement that we should, we are getting monthly reports on TAP enrollment issues. And I think there's agreement that those would, we would move those to become, we would continue those reports, but they would be quarterly. I believe there's agreement on that point. But that the question is, should they be expanded to include some of the information that has been sought by the public advocate in this proceeding? Is there any discussion or comments on those particular issues?
I think it would be good to include this information as long as it's feasible with the systems that they have, the department has, and or can modify the programs to do so.
Yeah, I think on this one, which is the TAP issue and enrollment, I think the systems would provide for that. But I agree, we could certainly make that clear that. To the extent that we are asking for additional reports, that they be reports that are feasible for the department to provide. And I guess I would also add in particular on the consultation with PGW, I don't believe that what the recommendation is to order the department to share data with PGW. I don't think we can do that. But I do think we can ask the department to have discussions with PGW about what would be involved in to the extent that it would be possible to share data, recognizing that PGW is regulated by the PUC, which has its own very significant rules regarding data sharing of customer information. But the department, I think, to their credit, has already made some great strides in what they're calling pre-qualification. That is, determining using data from other city and even I think they're mostly city offices, where if you can qualify for a TAP, you might be able to use data from other sources. And the question is whether they could discuss with PGW, which has a long-standing very substantial program to support their low-income customers, whether there could be sharing of data. I think that's the kind of thing that the department could certainly discuss. While we can't order them, I don't think, to share data, but I think we can request that they discuss that issue. Yeah, Abby, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, because I used to be PGW's general counsel, because I think Judge Chestnut also knows about this from some of her prior experiences, that issue has really been discussed at some length. You can certainly do a bring down on it, but the issue has always been that the PUC precludes that data sharing. So, you know, I think some of this, if you want to make a suggestion that there's a bring down on it, but I don't think we have the power to order anybody to do that.
Yeah. I would just mention on that I was interested to see that the PUC recently actually issued a secretarial letter not addressing Water Department, but addressing their jurisdictional utilities on how they can better share data among themselves to, for example, having a common application for, so, you know, for companies like PGW and PICO. Now, obviously, the PUC cannot order that for PWD, but it's, you know, again, the question is whether or not it's worth some discussion. But I agree with Abby that we can't order that, but we can urge the department to include those discussions and to get back to us if they could produce anything. Similarly, I would say on the text-based, what's called, they're calling the text-based recertification, that's an issue that it would be worth at least finding out if that's something that other utilities are doing. Not again, I don't think we can order the department to do a text-based, what's called recertification of TEP, but we can ask that they take a look at that and for example, see if that has been done in other by other utilities with any success. So with all that, I would ask if there's I guess I would say that the is there any further discussion to adopting a position that would request PWD to report back to the board on these TAP issues as part of their quarterly reports?
I think request is pretty close to require. What about encourage?
Encourage? Any discussion on that?
I could agree to encourage.
Okay. Tony, Matt?
Semantics aside, I like the idea of being a body that can hold the department accountable for trying to utilize best practices across the board as, you know, fiduciaries of dollars being spent. So if, you know, if there are opportunities that we can encourage, request, otherwise, you know, with TAP participation and other, including data analysis to figure out how we can better serve, they can figure out how to better serve their constituents. I am in favor of that. I know this is a lot to vote on here. I'm less interested in what vernacular we use, but I do like the idea of including our efforts to encourage, request, and otherwise, promote these types of best practices. So yes, long-winded yes.
Okay. Mac, you okay with that encourage proposal?
Yes, I've heard the discussion and I think they're good discussions and I support them.
Okay. I would agree with that. I'm okay with encourage. Again, I would note that in the last proceeding, the 2021 proceeding, the department entered into a settlement with the advocate to commit to a certain number of these issues. And we approved that settlement, although if you go back and look, we made it clear that we didn't believe we had the jurisdiction to order them to do it, but we certainly appreciated the cooperation between the advocate and the department in agreeing to those changes. And I can only hope that we can get continued, continued working together on these issues, which I think are in the interests of the department and its customers. So I'll leave it at that, that we would, instead of directing that the department make those additional reports, we would encourage them. And as I said, I do believe we are adopting the proposal that these would be quarterly reports rather than monthly. Okay, let me go to number 16. This is a requirement to adopting the public advocate. It has to do with TAP reports and account audits, adopting the public advocate's recommendations to require Philadelphia Water Department to report quarterly on specific work done to upgrade accounting and billing systems. And once upgrades are completed, to provide billing and collection data after consultation with the Water Revenue Board and the public advocate as to what information can reasonably be compiled. Is there a discussion on that recommendation? I'm sorry. I should mention that the Water Department filed exceptions to that we did not have authority in particular to order some of that work to be done, particularly given the fact that they're in the process of updating their billing systems, billing and collection systems as we speak. So is there any discussion on that point? Did you want to switch, Abby, from required to encourage on this one as well?
Again, I think we're really getting into the business here of telling them how they're running their business, and not directly done to with mm-hmm. respect to rates. And I agree with Tony. I mean, best practices are what everybody, that should be the goal of every person on this call and every institution involved. And I've really been encouraged by the kind of cooperation that the parties have had over the years. And I would like to encourage that continue and that the dialogue continue. But I think some of this really is beyond. So the encourage is fine with me.
Anybody else?
I agree with that.
Okay, and I agree, and I think we should make it clear. It's basically a reporting requirement on the work that they are doing, you know, just to let us know what they are doing to upgrade their accounting and billing. And then if they are able to agree on additional information, then they should do so. But I think the ball is still in their court as well, along with the Water Revenue Board and the Water Revenue Bureau and working with the public advocate to see what additional information would be useful. But I don't think we're certainly not ordering any of those in this at this time. Mm-hmm. Is everyone okay with that phrasing of the, with an encouragement? Okay. Next one has to do with, I'm sorry?
We will be encouraging.
Yeah, okay. Next one is a little trickier. This has to do with TAP arrearage forgiveness. The public advocate presented testimony that indicated that while arrearage forgiveness is now part of the TAP program, the statistics indicate that a relatively small portion of the TAP customers are receiving arrearage forgiveness as part of the TAP program. And their recommendation was that the department provide an audit of its customers over the last year, or from, I think it was the current year, of their customers to determine whether they should have been receiving arrearage forgiveness, and if so, to provide retroactive arrearage forgiveness to each of those customers. Hearing officer did recommend approval of that recommendation, and the water department filed exceptions, and the large users group requested a clarification as to whether how that additional, if there is any additional arrearage forgiveness, how that would be paid for. Is there any discussion on this issue? I have my concern with this one is the idea of going back and trying to track retroactively all of these thousands of customers to determine whether I think it would be difficult. I think it might, and the department says this would be burdensome to decide what they should have gotten in the past. But I think it's an important issue that ought to be addressed. And my suggestion is that the department be required to address or should address this prospectively. That is, put in place a system where they could keep track of this issue, frankly. And I don't know if you'd call it an audit or just some process or a process in place to determine whether whether customers are in fact starting with the new rates on July 1, whether in fact TAP customers are receiving the arrearage forgiveness that they're entitled to under the tariffs and the fees and the regulations, the Water Department's own regulations, and see if there really is a problem that. For whatever reason, customers are not receiving that benefit. So I would propose that we grant the exception to the extent that it requires retroactive arrearage forgiveness that would show up as either refunds or increased arrearage forgiveness to those customers, but require their, or in this case, I would use the word direct the department to put in place some method to determine whether the program is working as it's intended to, and whether customers are receiving the arrearage forgiveness that they're supposed to receive when they sign up for and continue to receive TAP. Any discussion on that point?
That seems reasonable to me, Sonny.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to agree on a forward-looking makes makes sense.
Okay. Right, I agree. I mean, I think the large users group, you know, they're saying should be a process for cost recovery for any of the retroactive forgiveness, but I would say that should be going forward.
Yeah. I think they're just asking for clarification, but we did address that issue back in the 2021 proceeding. But if we're not going to be doing retroactive, I don't think we have to, resolve that issue at this time. If the department subsequently makes some sort of a claim, then we'll have to deal with that at the time. But going forward, I think we should anticipate that the program should work as it is and the rates be reflected as they're currently reflected. So I would ask that, is there any objection to the suggestion that we adopt the PW exception to the extent that it requires, to the extent that the hearing report would require a retroactive forgiveness, but go forward, but at the same time, direct the department to address this issue on a prospective basis and report back to the department. Report back to the board.
Question for clarity on the on the retroactive piece. What we're saying is that the department wouldn't have to take the first action to go solve that retroactive puzzle. But is there a mechanism for customer who discovers that retroactive arrearage forgiveness was possible, not attained, and a mechanism to go pursue it on their own?
Well, that's a good point. You know, unlike the Public Utility Commission, which has a Bureau of Consumer Services that you can go to, and if your bill's not, if you have a complaint about your bill, we don't have that process. We don't have a staff of consumer. I think you have to go to the department, or I would urge people to go to the public, to go to community legal services if they believe that they're not getting the benefits that they receive, they expect.
And I would ask that, I believe there is a process, but I don't want to try to state it. Hopefully, if Dan is still here, yes, I see him. Maybe he could chime in, because I do believe you can appeal to the TRB, but maybe Dan, you could clarify.
Yes, that's correct. Customers that are not being charged correctly can go to the tax review board if necessary. I do have questions about the rate board's authority in this area. It doesn't directly relate to rates. Clearly, people ought to be getting arrearage forgiveness that they're entitled to. I fully support that. Whether the rate board itself is the one that can directly mandate it, I'm not sure about that.
Well, I guess again, I think there might have been a problem if we had gone back and tried to order them to retroactively audit all the prior bills that went out. I think, anyway, at least in my opinion, in terms of, I think arrearage forgiveness is a part of the rate, but it's an important question. So, but I do think that we should require that we can require the department to address this issue. Okay. Are there any objections to that methodology?
So for clarity, we're accepting the hearing officer's recommendation with the exception of the arrearage, the proactive arrearage forgiveness.
Well, with the exception of the retroactive,
retroactive. Yes.
Yeah, let me put it this way. We are accepting the water department's exception to retroactive forgiveness, but we are agreeing that this issue should be addressed prospectively by the water department. And I honestly don't know how they, whether that would be called an audit or a process in place, a spot check. It's a determination to look to find out if customers, are receiving the benefits. And to add to that point, we could make it clear in our order that folks who, to the extent that people don't think they're getting that, they should go to the water department, or we would also encourage them to go to the public advocate, which would actually be community legal services over the course of time.
So back to our verbiage and back to Dan's comment, let's recommend it rather than direct it.
I'd rather direct this one, but just because I think it is a rate, but I'll accept to take what's the, again, I don't have a specific methodology or anything. I would direct them to just get back to us with a report on how this is, on whether this is working or not. But I'll take a vote.
I think that's right. I think giving direction for a report that informs, you know, future decision making along these lines, you know, it gives us data on how it's going.
Deb, Mac.
I don't want to do something that jeopardizes.
Oh, Deb is frozen. Okay. Mac, are you willing to, do you have a position on this one? Direct or recommend? No, you're on mute.
I'm sorry. I agree with your position on this one, Sonny.
Okay.
Yours and Tony's.
Okay, I'm with the group.
And Deb is frozen.
Yeah. She was frozen before and came back and was unfrozen. So maybe this, she'll do the same trick again.
Hold up another minute. Okay. Oh, you're back, Deb?
Yeah, sorry, I'm having problems. Okay. Connection problems.
Well, we got three votes already for direct. So Abby's conceded the direct versus recommend. Is that okay? Just to report back to us. Again, we're not reporting, not telling them that they have to, you know, increase their forgiveness to anybody, just to let us know if this program is working, to do some sort of analysis to figure out, because actually, if you do look at the statistics in the public advocate's testimony, Mr. Colton's testimony, they're pretty significant. And we want to find out why there's such a gap between the number of customers who are on tap versus the number of customers who are receiving arrearage forgiveness. And there might be a very good explanation for that. And we just want to know what that is.
Just to be clear, I don't have any legal problem with you, with the board directing the water department to report on this. I thought that the question was directing the water department to forgive.
Oh, no. Yeah, sorry. Okay, good. Thanks for clarifying that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not directing them to grant forgiveness to anybody. It's just to report back to us on how this is working. Yeah, sorry, Dan. Thanks. Thank you very much for clarifying that. The next issue is the municipal liens and lien blockers. And this one where the advocate recommended the board to direct the use of lien blockers and urge the water department to consider the use of lien blockers on tap accounts and basically to stop, as I understand it, to not file these municipal liens. Hearing officer denied the recommendation, and instead she urged the department to consider these issues. There were no exceptions to that extent, but there we did address the, well, I'm sorry, there is the public advocate also had proposed, if you recall back in the earlier part of our discussion, to deny recovery of these lien filing expenses on the grounds that the liens themselves are not necessary. And the hearing officer recommended to deny that adjustment, and we at least tentatively agreed that to adopt the hearing officer's recommendation. And I think I would open up, but I guess I would start by just saying I don't think we have authority to order the department to not file these liens or to use some type of lien blockers. That's just not something that we can do. And therefore I would agree with the recommendation of the hearing officer, but she also, in her case, I think she used the word urge PGW to look into this issue and to confer with the, I don't recall, she specifically said to confer with the law department, but I would include that as to whether or not these filings are necessary, and if they're not necessary, whether that expense could be avoided in the future. Is there any discussion or on that point?
I guess my one comment is that one of the challenges is what keeps somebody paying their tab. And so, so the 24 months of payment of the tap bill gets you to the, arrearage forgiveness, if I'm not mistaken. And, but does filing the lien also have an incentive? And if something happens in those 24 months where that customer sells that property, that lien protects the department, allows the department to recover those funds at sale. So I'm not sure that it having a blocker on TAP customers would make sense. But I agree to accept the recommendation. And hopefully the department can come back and clarify the issue.
Any other comments or? Yeah, I would agree with Deb. I just don't know. and I don't think this is an issue that we can, make a determination on the merits, but I think we can again recommend that the department discuss this with the law department, who I think are sort of in charge. And to that, I guess, Dan, did you have any comment on that point?
No, that's correct. So first of all, just to back up, under the municipal claim and tax lien law, there's actually automatically a lien on delinquent water bills. But to perfect that lien and give notice to potential buyers, that's what it's filed for. And the First Judicial District charges that. That is a legal action, not something that the water department does on its own. It does require the law department. And I think it's something that can and should be discussed. There may, even if whether or not there should be a lien blocker on all TAP accounts or on certain ones or on certain non-TAP accounts also, it may be that it's sometimes cost effective to not do it. But I think the question is, it is there. It's supposed to be there under state law to protect as Deb said, as to protect water receipts and the revenues. That it's definitely worth discussing.
Okay. Thank you. With that, can I, I'll Can I ask if there's any objections to the recommendation, which is to deny the requirement, you know, that, that the board direct the use of, you know, that regarding the public advocate's recommendation regarding lien filing of liens and lien blockers, but in this case, I would agree using the word, you know, encourage or urge the department to discuss this issue with the law department as to what the proper scenario is here. Is there any objection to that?
Discuss and report back.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Okay, no, any objections to that?
No objections, Sonny.
No objection, great, thank you. We're coming down the home stretch here. There was an issue that was raised by the public advocate regarding earmarking of late fee revenues for certain programs to support conservation and hardship funds. The hearing officer recommended denial of that proposal to earmark those late fee revenues. There were no exceptions filed. Is there any discussion on that issue? Okay, any objection to adopting the hearing officer's recommendation on that point? Hearing none, I would include the hearing officer's recommendation on that. Next issue is an issue called sequestration. This is the only issue where a stipulation was reached, although it's actually between, I believe, the city and the public advocate. It was filed by the water department regarding sequestration of rents to satisfy delinquent liens for water and wastewater service. Stipulation between the city and the public advocate was filed. The hearing officer recommends that we accept that stipulation. There were no exceptions. Is there any discussion on that point? Okay, hearing none, are there any objections to adopting that recommendation? Similarly, there's an issue with compliance with the prior settlement agreement regarding the advocate recommended that, or the area contended that the water department had not met certain settlement commitments regarding engagement with community leaders, particularly members of the Black community. That was included in the settlement agreement in 2021. The hearing officer agreed that there seemed to be some the commitments may not have been met, but she does not adopt specific requirements, but only, I believe, would urge the continuation of the of that settlement agreement that we, maybe that's a little unclear, but it's not to make any specific, not to impose any specific requirements department at this time. And again, there were no exceptions to her recommendations on that point. Are there any discussion or objections to adopting the hearing officer's recommendation? In that case, we'll adopt that. The next exception deals with the objections raised by Mr. Skangielewski. They revolved in large part about order by the hearing officer granting objections filed by the water department to certain discovery regarding the water department help loan program and management of the line lateral replacement program. Mr. Skangielewski has filed exceptions to the hearing officer's report. Is there any discussion or this issue by members of the board? Hearing none, are there any objections to adopting the determination by the hearing officer on these exceptions? Hearing none, we will adopt her recommendation regarding this issue. The last issue involves an exception exception followed by the department regarding the use of the board model for the calculation of the rate increase. If, in the hearing officer's report, there is attached a table C1A, which she's prepared with, which prepared by Mr. Marcus for use by the hearing officer, using the model that Mr. Marcus had and his firm had developed for the water board. This is the first time we've used it. I think it's been beneficial to the participants and to the hearing officer, and I think believe to the board, so that we get a sense of what all these adjustments, what they mean, and how they affect the overall bottom line. There were three what I would call technical corrections proposed by the water department. This is an unusual issue because there's been no discussion on the record of this issue. So we have to sort of address it basically just based on the exceptions. And I have had the opportunity to discuss this with Mr. Marcus regarding addressing these three issues. And I would propose addressing them as follows. But there are three issues. One is regarding billed volumes, allocation between, that is the allocation between water and wastewater rates. Another one involves what are called liquidated encumbrances. And another is the calculation of interest expense. Dealing first with the billed volumes, the hearing officer recommended two adjustments to revenue, that is how much revenue the department was expecting to, well, would collect under current rates. The more revenue you're collecting under current rates, the less increase that you need for future rates. So those adjustments were made by Mr. Marcus, but under his model, under the simple model that we have, all of those additional revenues were placed into the, I'll call it the water bucket, so to speak, which is, they were all, and importantly though, and that's just the way the model worked. Importantly though, it doesn't affect the bottom line, which is what is the overall revenue requirement. So based on my discussions with Mr. Marcus, my understanding that it can be addressed by the department in their compliance tariffs. That is, this model will not try to determine what the allocation is between water and wastewater customers of the of those revenue adjustments. But we will defer to the, again, this doesn't affect the bottom line. That is the overall recommended rate increase. This affects the allocation, which we would conclude, or we would, we believe could be addressed by the water department in its compliance tariffs, which would specifically does have to allocate rates between water, stormwater, wastewater, and obviously all participants and the board itself would have the opportunity to review that compliance filing at the time. But for that, we don't think we need to make a change in our table. Second issue involves the issue of interest expense. I'm sorry, not interest expense, interest earnings. The department suggested that the calculation of interest earnings or the adjustment was incomplete or incorrect in that it was based on certain other adjustments that had been made or had been proposed by the advocate but not adopted. In other words, we adopted the advocate's interest adjustment. but that was based on a number of other determinations. Mr. Marcus has looked at that issue and concluded that even assuming that his model did not make that calculation based on the final determination of other adjustments. But however, he concluded that that adjustment was de minimis, that would only have a de minimis impact on the overall rate increase, and that he would not propose that we make any adjustment to the model at this time to reflect that. In any case, and he did some calculations to determine that would have a de minimis impact. On the third issue involves the issue of liquidated encumbrances, where it's my understanding that as an accounting matter, this is based on my discussions with Mr. Marcus, that when you make an adjustment to expenses, operating expenses, as the advocate proposed and the hearing officer recommended, and that now that we've recommended based on the polling today, there has to be a countervailing adjustment to an account called liquidated encumbrances. It's a fraction of the adjustment, but it is a countervailing adjustment. And the department determined in there and or contended in their exception that the model that when the hearing officers report the table did not make that adjustment. And Mr. Marcus agrees that should have been made, that there should be a correction for in the final order for liquidated encumbrances. And I believe his estimate is that would, and I believe his estimate is the same as very similar to the department's, which would be about $1.2 million in fiscal year 24 and $2.5 million in fiscal year 25. You realize this is and those are the three recommendations that I would make to the board. I realize that this is a difficult way to address this issue, but I don't know how else to do it. We will try to get out our results as soon as possible. I don't think that, I think these are technical corrections, but at least in the case of liquidated encumbrances, it does have an impact on the overall rate increase. And at least according to my conversations with Mr. Marcus, that the department was indeed correct that should have been done, and that we should do it therefore in our final table. So I'd ask if there's any questions, discussion, comments on that. Abby?
Sunny, once again, I think I speak for all of us when I express my great appreciation that you've managed to understand, dissect, and solve with Ed this issue, these sets of issues. It seems very reasonable to me, and thank you.
Okay, I'll give full credit to Ed, but in any case, thank you. Any other comments?
Well, I am giving credit to you and Ed, so yes, thank you for sorting through this myriad.
For clarity, we are accepting accepting the hearing officer's suggestion.
Not the hearing officer's suggestion.
The hearing officer's suggestion. Or recommendation, rather. However, we will subject to corrections that will be articulated and attached to the final order.
Yeah, I think on those three issues, we're not changing her decision, her recommendations. We are changing the way the model, in one case, changing the input to the model in a way to reflect the most serious of those exceptions. So to that extent, we are adopting the exceptions of the Water Department, particularly with respect to liquidated encumbrances, and addressing the other two exceptions as I discussed. One is to defer it to the compliance filing, and the other is to note that it is only a de minimis change, and we are not making that, we're not going to redo the model at this time for that change. That's the recommendation, and like I said, this is, and I thank the, the department for working, for pointing out these issues, I'm hoping that this resolution will be satisfactory to all the participants, recognizing this is the first time we've used this model. As I said, it's certainly been helpful to me, and I think to the hearing officer, and to, I hope, to the board and to the participants, to get a better, make it, have a better understanding of through the course of the proceeding, how this worked. Is there any other discussion or comments on that proposed resolution? Does anyone object to that proposed resolution, which I will try to repeat again, but no objections? And hopefully we'll be able to write that up in the final report, and certainly we'll ask Ed to work with us on putting together the final schedule, the final table. So I think that addresses all of the polling issues that I've identified. We have still have our work cut out for us to try to put all of this into a final order. But are there any other comments or questions from the board before we turn to our next agenda item? Okay. Well, thank you very much. And thanks to all of the board members for your diligence working through all of these issues and following along as the case progressed. And thanks again to the hearing officer for the excellent hearing officer report that we've been able to follow and be able to work through this difficult set of issues that are before us. We do have a couple other matters to discuss on the agenda. I know it's getting late. One is to note that our contracts with our hearing officer, public advocate, and technical expert are scheduled to end on December 1st of this calendar year. And they have been, I believe they were entered into on end of 2019. They were extended for 3 more 1-year terms, which we were permitted to do under the contracts, but now we have to do new requests for proposals to get folks on board in the positions of hearing officer, public advocate, and consultant to the board starting on December 1, 2023. And what I would ask for the board for your approval, for your authorization and direction to me and to Dan to issue new requests for proposals for contracts for the upcoming year starting December 1st, 2023. Can I ask for a motion and then we can discuss that?
So moved.
Okay, Abby moves.
Second.
Okay, can we discuss that issue? Any discussion?
Just that it's really critical that we start this process early and that it gets all the weight that it needs, because it's a critical process and it's got lots of moving parts. So I think it's great that we're starting it now, and hopefully it'll be well in place by the time we need the changeover or the continuation in January.
December. Right. Thank you. I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other discussion?
Just for the board's information, the city's policy has changed to allow 4 additional one-year terms rather than 3. It doesn't mean that the board has to renew for that length of time, but the contract would permit the board to do so.
But I assume that's for new contracts, not for existing contracts.
Yeah, they're amending some existing contracts to permit it with them, but we're already in the last term and that wouldn't be appropriate.
Okay, so can I ask for a vote to authorize the issuance of new requests for proposals for contracts with hearing officer, public advocate, and technical expert beginning December 1st, 2023?
So moved.
Yes.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, okay, that's approved. One other item of business, scheduling and advertising of future board meetings. To be safe, we should go ahead and schedule meetings for the summer. An issue may arise, we don't know, regarding compliance tariffs. I think it's safest for us to go ahead and advertise. Even for the rest of the calendar year, we can always cancel. Is that true, Dan? We can always cancel a meeting if we just go ahead and if this time and date, second Wednesday of each month, 3 p.m., continues to work, I would request that we schedule our meetings for the second Wednesday of July through December at 3 p.m. So the next meeting, if that's approved, would be July 12th.
Well, July 21st and then July 12th. I mean, June 21st.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we already have meetings scheduled. That has already been advertised. I apologize. Thanks, Deb. Our next meeting is next Wednesday. Don't miss it because we have to vote on the final orders, hopefully, which will be ready by then. That our next meeting is June 21st, but I would ask for permission to direct Stephen to schedule and advertise future board meetings for the second Wednesday of the rest of the 3 p.m. starting July 12th through December 2023. Is there any objection or to that?
It probably won't be Stephen, but but we will get it done.
So. Okay. Well, Stephen or his successor. Yeah. And Stephen will be with us next week, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I'll be here. I might be able to advertise the meeting.
If you're able to do that, that would be great. For the next six months. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Let me say, are there any other matters to be brought before the board? First, let me ask the board members. Any other matters? Okay, any matters by any participants or members of the public who are at the meeting today? Okay.
Sonny, for the department, yes. Some things that we've talked about today, I'd like to review and talk with the public advocate about it, if I can, and share with you if we think there's any confusion in terms of conflating certain issues or other technical problems. And if the public advocate and I can agree, I'd like to bring it like in an email to the board, and you can vet it or toss it or whatever you would like to do with it, but I'd like it to be before you make a final decision. That's all I can think of, just as a fail safe.
You have a problem with that, Rob?
I never have a problem with talking with Andre about these kinds of issues. So we'll confer, and if there's something to get back to you, we'll do that.
Okay.
And Ade also will be in the loop.
Yeah, Ade.
Well, I think that any correspondence should be available to all the participants.
Yes.
any, you know, it certainly should be, you know, and certainly Plug has some issues here, and other participants may as well. But I would urge you to, if you have anything, that you get it to us as soon as possible.
Will do.
I'd like to be clear that this doesn't constitute like reply exceptions or anything like that. This is really just a clarification from this meeting, if agreement is reached between Andre and Ade and myself and any other folks who want to join the conversation, and just request that that be the only basis for holding the record open, other than obviously the rate determination and the work that Ed's going to do with the model.
Okay. Anything on that, Ade?
No, I'll review anything that Andre and or Mr. Desai and Mr. Baljan want to talk about. And you know, I thank the rate board and the hearing officer for the time dedicated towards this matter. I know it's a lot to ask of each of those individuals. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you all.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Let me ask the hearing officer, was there anything else you had for wanted to raise at this point while we're here? Or
no, I just wanted to thank everybody for their time and attention to making this process go as smoothly as it did. It was my first fully litigated case, and took a lot more time and effort than I had anticipated.
First litigated case at the Water Board, that you can add that to several hundred litigated cases at the PUC.
Well, even rate cases are rarely litigated. They're usually settled at this point. But I was a little panicked that I wouldn't get my report done on time.
You got a week early.
But yeah, so. But thank you for all your support.
So, Justice, I can tell you that those rate cases don't settle quite as often as they used to nowadays.
Oh, really? I don't know. Whether they'd be sorry about that or not, but.
I wonder if there's a correlation there between the time Judge Chestnut has been out of the PUC and the amount of cases continuing.
Well, you know, I was penalized for the number of cases I had settled. We used to get points for our cases, like big cases got more points than little cases. And because just about all my cases settled, I always had like by far the lowest number of points, and I would always get like this warning letter.
Oh, well, anyway.
Sorry, we couldn't help you out with your score in this, Judge.
Okay.
And I was just going to ask that when you communicate, if you could include me on that also.
Yes.
When you communicate to the rate board and the other participants, don't forget to include me.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay, is there anything else to be brought before the board? Okay, thanks again to all the participants, the hearing officer, to members of the board, Ed Marcus, and to Dan, and again, we'll have one more meeting with Stephen before he goes off. So, can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Move to adjourn.
Tony moves to adjourn.
Second.
Second from Deb. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care, everyone. Good.